I'd like now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Jill Ann Spitzmiller and Hank Rogerson, documentary filmmakers, whose new film is called Still Dreaming. It screens at the Screen on the campus of the Santa Fe University of Art and Design at 7 o'clock on Friday and Saturday, the 27th and 28th of March, and Sunday, the 29th at 2 o'clock. And there's other screenings, too, and all kinds of Q&A and panels, which we'll be talking about in a moment. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So you've been working on this film for a while. We saw a rough cut of it a couple of years ago. It's about the residents of the Lillian Booth Actors Home, which is outside of New York City. They're former actors, Broadway performers, all kinds of incredibly creative people. And the idea is to do a production of Midsummer Night's Dream using these actors and have you documented. How did all this come to be?
Well, we'd made a film back in 2005 called Shakespeare Behind Bars. And that was about creativity being done in a unique place, and Shakespeare being done in a unique place. And while we were making that film, the idea came up of doing Shakespeare with old people, seniors. And so we sort of we pursued the idea and found this home in Inglewood, New Jersey, where, like you said, there's entertainers, there's people who are singers, dancers, actors living in this home, and it seemed like a great population to work with for this project of doing, you know, the idea of being creative when you're in your older life. And so that's kind of how the idea came about, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
So you guys basically made it happen and found the young Shakespeare directors who are in the film and who directed it.
Right. So the home itself actually was founded by a big donation from a Shakespearean director at like the turn of the 20th century. He founded the Actors Fund, which runs the home. And in the charter for the home, it says that they must do Shakespeare. And they also must read the Declaration of Independence on the 4th of July every year. So they actually have a Shakespeare Club, and that something was happening there, but not as big of a production as what we filmed. So when we first approached the Jordan Stroll, who runs the home, with the idea, he said, you know, we always are looking for ways to engage our residents, and in particular in things that they love to do. So we'd love to do this. We should bring in a director. Can you help us with that search? But let's do it, you know. And so we did help facilitate. But then once we were all there on the ground, we just, you know, stepped back and watched what happened.
Right. And what we see is such a mixed, really such a mixed bag, because on the one hand, here are these people who are so, many of them still really vibrant and talented and creative, but some of them have Alzheimer's, some of them have become curmudgeon-y and belligerent. You know, some of
or
them,
or maybe they were always that way.
Or yeah, right. Some of them are taken away in an ambulance during the middle of the rehearsal, and it's really kind of daunting, because you think to yourself, my God, everybody declines and this is what it looks like, and it's not pretty.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what we tried to really explore was the idea of, yes, we're all aging, you know, and what made us really interested in the film was our own, you know, we live our lives as much as we can as creative people, and we're in our middle stage of life, and how much are we going to be able to do as we age, you know? Yeah. And that was a real question for us just on a personal level. So to me, it was really encouraging to see how much everyone got out of the creative process, even if they, you know, I think a lot of them, they go to this home and they feel like they've retired because they can't sing at an operatic level anymore, or they can't move around on stage like they used to. And so they kind of think they can't do it anymore at all. But what we found and what they found is that whatever level you engage at is good and beneficial, and it does bring up challenges and, you know, hard things, but I think that the rewards were so great for them, most of them anyway.
Yeah, and to follow up on that, I mean, it is a sort of a messaging that we get in our society about, you know, getting older. There's like, you know, there's nothing good about it. But I feel like in this home, and certainly in this process of putting on this Midsummer Night's Dream with these residents, you know, just like Jillian said, they all got something out of it, and they all sort of like were able to sort of reevaluate in many ways. Like, wow, you know, there's more to do than bingo. There's more to do than ceramics, and this is something that actually really connects with who I am, and it, you know, it was community. It created a community. It created a bond. Where they, you know, they came together every morning, every afternoon, and worked and worked and worked, instead of just going back and watching TV. It really speaks to the value of, you know, that seniors can be engaged and they can still get so much out of life.
And the directors are taking them seriously and working with them as if they were regular actors, even when something goes wrong, it doesn't work out, but they're still. You know, one of the things that's so painful when you witness it is when people working, the employees of old age homes treat the residents like infants, or like toddlers, I guess, would be more it, when they're mentally fine but just physically declining. And these guys aren't doing that at all.
Right, they're actually coming in on a professional level and expecting a professional performances and dedication, and, you know, which in a way they find is somewhat unrealistic, but the fact that they kind of keep up those standards makes everyone come up to another level, you know.
There were also some real medical benefits that came from doing the play for these people.
Yeah, I mean, there's medications were reduced by members of the troupe, four members of the troupe. People who had long patterns of depression, they were coming out of it. And this is all according to the Jordan Stroll, who's the leader of the home and who observed the residents during this process.
Also, he said that not only the residents who were in the play, but the residents of the home at large were experiencing a lift as well. Like, everybody was really excited that this thing was happening. And, you know, so there was a benefit for everyone, really.
And they did make it to the performance.
They did.
Not to give too much away, but yeah, there's certainly a lot of hiccups along the way, so many challenges. But, you know, that's the way of theater, that there are always challenges and blocks along the way. And in this film, those are prevalent in ways of health and mental capacity and The one of the most interesting things about the film is that, you know, it centers around them doing a production of Midsummer Night's Dream, which is a play about, you know, when they enter the woods in that play, it becomes about disorientation and reality versus dreaming. And you just said this, but you're acting like this. And that really started to reflect itself in the process of the play and being in a retirement home where there are a lot of different realities going on within the group. So it was pretty amazing to watch. We had sort of different ideas of how the play would unfold in relation to the home and the themes of Midsummer. But it really was a wonderful reflection of both the play and being in a home.
We're talking about the documentary film Still Dreaming, which opens not this weekend, but next weekend at the Screen. It's interesting that this is the second movie that you've made documenting a Shakespeare production in an institution where it's unlikely, it's kind of an unlikely scenario or an unlikely setting for this. And in both cases, the themes of the play reflected these people's lives in sometimes a pretty direct way.
Yes. In Shakespeare Behind Bars, they did The Tempest, which is about forgiveness, and that was so relevant to that group of inmates. You know, everybody is searching for some level of forgiveness, either within themselves or from society or from their victims. So that play really was a great fertile situation for them. And here in Still Dreaming, you know, we really expected that there would be more about love, you know, in the production and what they were getting out of it. We were even hoping, you know, well, there'll be some love action there, you know, and we could explore that. But, you know, that's what happens when you make documentaries. You have an idea of what might happen, and the exciting thing is that it's never what you think it was going to be, and you have to make sense of it anyway.
So there were no little romances behind the scenes?
We were looking for them, but we didn't see any. Yeah. It was more just some people got lost and then found again, you know. And
very interesting. What was the experience like for the two young directors?
They were completely not... They had no idea what they were getting themselves into.
And that's what it looks like.
Yeah. In fact, we filmed a meeting with them in their house, at Ben's house. That's Ben Steinfeld and Noah Brody, who are from Fiasco Theater in New York City. And they're actually on a huge trajectory upward right now in their careers. They're like the darlings of the New York theater world. And, you know, we met with them before they even went to the home. And, you know, they had all these, like, big ideas what they were going to do and who was going to do what, and you know, and then they get to the home that morning, as we see in the film, they're like, wow, okay, we got to make some adjustments in what we think is going to happen here. Some people can't even walk around, you know, and they ask themselves, you know, what kind of production are we going to do? And that's really the question throughout the film, is what is the production going to be? And you know, in the end, the film is really about the journey to whatever that end point is, you know, and it's a very funny ride. It's a very sometimes sad, some, you know, but there's so much humor in it, I think, and Ben and Noah are great at keeping it light and keeping it moving.
And it does really cause you to reflect on your own ambition and... Is it? I mean, there's a sense of, you know, it all ends and we're all forgotten. Everybody sitting in this cafe right now will be completely forgotten at some point, not in the not too distant future. And you do what you got to do anyway, at whatever age.
And I think what's important is that to just do it for yourself, you know, and to do what makes you happy and what makes you come alive, and to do it until the last breath, you know, or the last point at which you can do something.
I think the film also presents sort of different ways of approaching aging in the different characters and how they approach this process, and how they showed up every day. I mean, some people were really positive about the process and didn't become too attached to the outcome, but became more attached to the community and the creativity that was in the room and the fun. And then other people became, like, you know, way too involved and way too attached to the outcome, like I said, and that's sort
which
of
made
just
for good drama,
which made for good drama at times, and explosions and arguments and humor, but it also taught me a lot about, like, how to take each day, you know, how you show up. Charlotte Fairchild, who's one of the characters in the film, you don't know it necessarily by the way she acts, but she has Alzheimer's. You wouldn't know it because the imagery that we have out there of Alzheimer's is someone who's really cranky, you know, is always arguing, but she shows up every day and her response to everything is terrific. That's what she says about everything. And
right.
She's really, really positive.
And she's still singing and she's still really musical.
Yeah, unbelievable voice. Unbelievable performance ability.
Yeah.
And she plays the character of Puck, you know, who's the mischievous character in the woods of Midsummer. And she plays that in the troupe as well. She's very mischievous.
So the film opens the weekend of March 27th. It's screening at various times through the weekend and perhaps beyond. And on the 7 o'clock screenings on Friday and Saturday, March 27th and 28th, the two of you will be there.
Right. So we'll do Q&As after the show. Yep.
Excellent. And then on Sunday, there's a screening, March 29th, there's a screening at 2 o'clock. And after that screening, there will be a Shakespeare panel. Tell us about that.
Right. So why don't you?
Yeah, Jillian and I will be in the panel on that day as well. But Jonathan Richards, who's a local actor and author and journalist, will be on the panel, as well as John Andrews, who's head of the Shakespeare Guild.
Excellent. What a great lineup.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we're excited. And John arranged that, so we're really grateful to him. And the film will actually run through April 2nd. It has a full week run.
Oh, okay.
With different shows. But those are the shows that we will be present at. And people can find out more about the schedule at the Screen's website, which is thescreensf.com.
thescreensf.com. Documentary filmmakers Jillian Spitzmiller and Hank Rogerson, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you.